got your nap in or whatever you got to do when you get to your house. We'll get started here just a little bit. just a couple other things to remember. We will be having a church council meeting here in the fellowship hall immediately following service. And then also, too, just if there's any changes to the budget request or anything, if you're a chairperson on a committee or head of a ministry and have any suggestions, just let me know, and we'll get those corrected for the upcoming year on the budget. It's been a good day to be the Lord's. It's always a good day to be the Lord's, but we're appreciative of that. And again, just a couple of other things. Let's just remember, like I said, we'll be having the tent, I guess, over the next week at 6 o'clock. So let's be in prayer for that. And let's just continue to be in prayer for our country and our community, and be in prayer for those armed forces that are defending the airport over there in Kabul right now. That's and those in Louisiana. Yeah, let's remember those too. So only time we get rain here in the mountains now is a 4-inch of water event. So I guess we'll be getting one Tuesday and Wednesday. But again, we want to welcome those here in the sanctuary, those out in the parking lot, and also those watching on Facebook this evening. And again, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our service this evening, and then we'll get started with a song. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come to You this evening, again, just a grateful people that we can be here, Lord, and we're so blessed, and You protect us, Lord, and we're so grateful for that. We do ask, Lord, that You be with those in the pathway of Ida, the hurricane there, Lord, that You just be with all those that are in emergency services, Lord, and law enforcement, as they're going to have a lot to deal with over the next few days and few weeks, and we just ask You to be with them and strengthen them, Lord. We ask that those that are in charge, that You'd give them great wisdom, Lord, to figure out what needs to be done, and that they would make those resources necessary to help those that are in need. We ask You also, Lord, just to be with our armed forces, Lord, across the world, but particularly there in Afghanistan this evening, Lord, as they have a mighty task in front of them, Lord, and we just ask Your protection upon them. And, Lord, we just thank You that we can live in a country, that we can be free, and that we can come here and worship, Lord, and just give You the praises and the honor and the glory that You deserve, Lord. And we do ask, as we do go into a new church here, Lord, and that You would just bless each of these ministries, that You would give us, as Brian's been preaching over the last few weeks, that You would just renew Your church, Lord, renew Your people, Lord, that You would give us a great burden to go out into the community and tell those about You, Lord, and tell that old, old story, Lord. And that we know that people are receptive, Lord, because they're looking for hope and they're looking for an answer, Lord. And we know that Your word gives us all the hope we need. And we also know, Lord, that You give us the answers we need as well. So we just ask, Lord, that each and every one gathered here this evening, that You quieten our hearts and our minds, and we would just begin a freshness in this service, Lord, to worship You and to hear Your word. And again, we thank You for Brian as he's been preaching, Lord. He's been preaching the truth, and I'm grateful for that, Lord, and we're thankful for that here at this church. And I ask, Lord, that all Your churches across this land and across the world, Lord, that we would all as a people get that burden again to go out into the world and tell the world about You, Lord. Nothing's impossible with You, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. So just help us, Lord, to take the time this week or tonight, Lord. Let tonight be the night that we stop and have that serious conversation of where we're at in our relationship with You. If we're saved, Lord, that we need to come back and renew our spirit with You, Lord. If there's those that are here that aren't saved, Lord, don't know You, that this will be the night they come to realization for that. And that You would just burden our hearts, Lord, and that You would change this community through Your spirit and use us to the best of our abilities, Lord, and that You would just bless us, Lord, according to what You would have us to do, and help us to be patient, help us to be faithful, Lord, and help us be willing to spend that time with You, whether it's in the Word or on our knees in prayer, Lord, that we can grow closer to You to find out what You truly want us to do, Lord. And again, we just thank You for all that You've done. Again, I ask You to bless this service this evening. And again, just be with Brian as he stands. In Jesus' name, for His sake, we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. Y'all are loud and exciting. Let's stand and sing number 3, Worthy of Worship, if you're able to. Let's stand.
Sister Nancy, and I want to say also thank you to all of you that hold a position here at Thomas Village. I want you to know it doesn't go unrecognized of the sacrifices you make and the time you put into it, whether it be listener, Sunday school teacher, or whatever it might be, working in the food prep and our youth, all that. It takes all of us, and the Lord has called you, and I'm thankful for you. So tonight we'll be in the book of James, chapter 4. Book of James, chapter 4. And I make a motion that we change Cubbies to Chubbies. I know it. Wayne said I added 50 pounds to every one of them today. But I was reading something this afternoon about it, and it said clubbers. And I thought it said chubbers in that one. I really did, but thank God. Could you imagine if I didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of me, what I might say? That's with the Holy Ghost. So we do want to pray for our military right now. We have a friend that is close to me and Amy, and he's in the Marines, and he's been over there, and his mother was really in a panic on Thursday when all that went on. But he, praise God, it wasn't. He didn't get involved in it. But he said that one of the most difficult things is when they bring their children and lift them up to you to try to get them out. And I heard today that they're not even receiving anybody at the airport right now. So we want to pray for them, pray for those that have helped us over there, and pray for the Christians that's over there. People are being murdered, and we just pray that God give the family peace and give them strength in those times. But word of praise and testimony, it was good to see Sister Catherine this morning, and good to see her post on the healing of her leg, and we give God thanks for that. Also, praise the Lord, we're looking forward to next weekend, Duffield Days, and then specifically Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We've got five churches that's committed, a ministry that's committed to coming, and that's not including Thomas Village. So I'm expecting great things, but also other churches are announcing it and are praying that God send revival. And so we want to continue to pray for that. Any other words of praise or testimony before we go on with our prayer list?
As far as praise, I'm so fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It was our first service here in the church.
Wow. Last week. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He has. He is. He is. And he's working right now. For us and on behalf of us. Anyone else? Look at here. We got the crew. They're going to make it straighten up now. Good to see y'all. We do want to pray for the lost. Always want to pray for the lost and lift them up. The backslidden. It's easy to be backslidden. Easy to become backslidden. And you don't have to fall into some putrid sin or type of life. It's just a slipping away from our Lord and the relationship with Him. We want to pray for the depressed, many people battling depression. We want to pray for marriages, and then specifically our nation. We want to pray for our nation and pray that, one, God have mercy, as we need to be praying for His mercy and for His grace, His forgiveness, and that we'll come back to Him. As a nation, we want to pray for John, Stephanie, and Brenda Stinnick. This is Miss. It's a relative of Brother K. Jesse's. They've been battling COVID, and also on top of that, some issues with blood clotting and things like that. So we want to continue to pray for them. We want to pray for Sister Carol Edwards. She was having some issues with her heart this morning. Has anybody heard how she is this afternoon? I didn't check on them, but we do want to pray for her and Brother Ron. Lisa Eastep, Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Mark Leonard's wife and mother, Danielle Mosher, Connor and Cole Begley, Donna Hess, Wilma and Don Daniels, Larry Tomlinson, Melanie Lester, Brenda Baker, Larry Spills, Donna Rames, Mickey O'Neill. That is my great aunt who lives in Texas but watches us every Sunday. This is one of her other nephews, and she's asked us to pray for them. So thankful she watches. Sister Jeanette Carter, Brother Rick Swanson, Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smiley. Is that the right name? It was from Wednesday night. I couldn't. Kathy Smith, okay. Thank you, sister. Stephanie Harvey and family, Brother Ronnie Owens. I'm pretty sure he's home. Chandra Perry, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Bill Eads, Terry Biller, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Gary and Brandy Cece, Brother Brian Baker and his family, Margaret Williams, Sister Jessie Bull and Pam Savarsky, Stanley Williams and Sandy, Brittany Grindstaff, Jason Knight, Edsel Keck, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Sheila Percival, Heather Markham, Randy Flansler, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, the ones I talked about earlier, John, Stephen, and Brenda. This is her son-in-law and her daughter, Susan Drawdery's son-in-law and daughter and granddaughter. Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Larry Rasnick, Ray Tony, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Brother Roger and Sister Virginia Eden, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Belinda Baker, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, Mike Stapleton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura, Opal, and Grayson, JT and Gladys Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris William and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Miss Priscilla Smith, Ethan Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Brother Tommy and Sister Alma Mullins. He's getting closer and closer to the surgery date. Probably should find out this week when they'll be redoing the mesh that he had in his stomach a few years ago. Haley Webb, Sean and Don, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Nicholas Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Jay and Ruby Keck, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten and family, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Miss Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup. Also, specifically, my father called me today to specifically to ask us to pray for Ricky Sheffield. He's been battling cancer and his need of a transplant. I'm not sure. I think it's a kidney. But pray for him. And then also James Connor. This is a pastor that was basically like one of my dad's mentors. They were around the same age, but he's fighting, been a year and a half now, fighting esophagus cancer. I want to pray for him. We want to lift up the Duffield Fire and Rescue with the first responders. Also, pray that the Lord open up the door so we can get back to some of our external ministries, specifically at the nursing home and the center in the village. And then also pray for Christmas shoeboxes. 500 we're asking the Lord for. And then also we want to remind you of the phone app. Just go to your app on your phone, whether it be iPhone or the other one, Android, and type in the name, Thomas Village Baptist Church, and it's going to be a whole lot more used as we are moving on ahead. Brother JC, have you heard anything on the Begley boy after all that happened with the breathing tube and all? That was Connor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Paul if he would be making his way up here to lead us in prayer. Yes, Brother Otis. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm. I was going to say that. Where do they live at? I thought it was. Georgia is taking a lick right now. Down where my folk is from, Daddy had one pass away, one of his, 40-something years old, and passed away. So thank God we are where we are, and God's dealing with us the way he's dealing with us right now. It ain't perfect, but, yep, Brother Keith? Mm. Anyone else? Okay. Get him an appointment. We will. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. We will. Did they fix your eyes? Did they get you fixed? Did they help you? All righty.
I'm still afflicted.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes, sister. What was that first name? Scott. Anybody else? Want to remind you again, prayer changes things. It does. Don't ever forget that, and don't give up on your prayers. We're moving into that portion of James as we'll be moving on tonight. But Brother Paul, if you would, and the altar's always open.
Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the opportunity you give us to be out in your house once again this evening. Thank you for everyone's put forth the effort to be here, Father. Again, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. You are the Almighty God. There's none like you. You are so awesome and so powerful, so mighty. And Father, we acknowledge you are the great physician. You are the great counselor. And Lord, we just come to you with this petition of names and prayer requests this evening. So much sickness. And Father, I just ask that it would be your will. You know the situations, the circumstances far better than we do. But Father, if it be your will, I pray you would intervene and give healing where it's able to be done. But Father, whatever's done, I pray that everything and everybody will glorify you, because you know what's the best. Some days it's better that we can just go home. And Lord, I'm looking forward to that day. And I praise you for what you can do. And Lord, I just ask you to be with those, though, that are in such serious conditions. So Lord, may your will be done. Thank you for Jesus and what he did on the cross at Calvary through that death, burial, and resurrection. After he shed his blood on that cross, made a way, made the only way for us to come to you. He redeemed us through the shedding of his blood and made a way for us to spend eternity in heaven. So we thank you for such a precious gift. Now, Father, I ask you to be with my pastor tonight. Bless him. Help him, Lord, as he stands and preaches your word. Give him the words we need to hear. Help us to open our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, put that desire in our heart to read and study even further, to learn all we can about you, Father, because we know that's where our eternity is going to be with, and that's with you. So again, we thank you and we praise you. We ask for your healing where your healing is available and in your will, I ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, the book of James, chapter 4. There's 18 verses in this, or 17 verses in this passage. And the first 1 through about 12 all go together. They're kindly one topic. And then in verses 13 through 17, it's kindly a different paragraph. But tonight, I'm going to limit myself to just 6 verses, and we'll pick it up from here next week. But let's begin in chapter 4. Just remain seated, and we'll read the whole chapter, but specifically focusing on verses 1 through 6. What is the source of wars and fightings among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet, yet cannot attain. You fight and wage war. You ask and do not receive, because you're asking with the wrong motives, so that you can spend it on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? So whoever wants to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think that it was without reason that the scripture says, the spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy turned to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a believer defames and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Yet there is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. But you are, there is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such city and spend a year there and do business and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil, so it is sin to know the good and yet not do it. And may God add the blessings to his reading of his scriptures. We've making our way steadily through the book of James. In chapter 1, we see the James, and remember, James is one of those books that basically the idea is don't tell me, show me. If you're a Christian, if you profess to be a believer, then there is a lifestyle that exemplifies a believer, and it's not being perfect. Matter of fact, I don't think the world needs perfect Christians. It needs authentic and committed Christians. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. And then we also as a church need to recognize that we're not perfect and no one else will, and that our duty is to restore the brethren or to restore the fallen. And so we see that James talks to us about enduring trials and temptation. He talks with us about the need and the location of godly wisdom. The blessing for those that endure in those trials and temptations, and then living out Christ or being a doer of the word. And then he wraps up chapter 1 with evidence of sincere faith, which is holding on to your tongue and looking out for the true widow and the true orphan or those that's in downcast situations. And then we move over into chapter 2, and James begins to deal with the issue of favoritism. And then he moves on to the idea of faith without works is dead. Basically, he's not saying that we're saved by works, but that our faith is made complete in those works, those good works we talked about from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we have been saved unto good works. And then in chapter 3, we see the destruction and the danger that lies in the tongue. And then James, it's kind of neat because back in chapter 1, if you remember there in verses 5 through 8, James discusses wisdom. And if we need wisdom, then to ask God, and he'll give us that wisdom. And then last week, he kindly hit it again. He talked about wisdom. And so James is going to kindly deal with that again tonight because he's going to be talking about the issue of the flesh, the battle of the flesh. So I want to read verses 1 through 6 to you again. What is the source of wars and fightings among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet yet cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You ask and do not receive because you're asking with wrong motives so that you can spend it on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that a friendship with the world is hostility to God? So whoever wants to be a friend with the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think it is without reason that the Scripture says the Spirit he made to dwell in us envies or is jealous intensely? Or has intense jealousy. Verse 6, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, what you're going to see is that in this passage, James asks a lot of questions. And they're not rhetorical questions because they are needing to be answered. But notice how he begins. He begins with two questions in verse 1. He says, what is the source of wars and fighting among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? Now, the word wars there in the Greek is polemos, and it refers to the entire military campaign. I mean, the idea would be not just a skirmish or a battle, but that basically, like we've been in Afghanistan for 20 years and fighting that war, it would be the picture that we are living a lifestyle of a war. And then he says fightings, which in the Greek is maxi, M-A-X-E, and it refers to the individual type battle that you're in the midst of it, and you move from one battle and go on to another. But the question is that we have to ask ourselves. He's talking about these wars and these battles. Now, is he talking about division within the church, or is he talking about personal spiritual warfare? And I believe that's what he's doing. I believe he's talking specifically about spiritual warfare. And you remember how I told you that some of the theologians did not agree with the book of James. They didn't care for it, and that they said that it was contrary or in opposition to Paul's teachings. Well, tonight, I believe James is dealing with the issue that Paul deals with over in the book of Romans chapter 7. And we're more familiar with this scripture in Romans chapter 7 verse 18 and following. It says, Paul said to the Romans, he said, for I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I don't want to do. Now, if I do what I don't want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin that lives within me. So I discover this principle. When I want to do good, evil is always present. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in my body parts. Waging war against the law of my mind and taking me a prisoner to the law of sin in my body parts. What a wretch I am. Who shall rescue me from this dying body? So Paul, and really this is one that all of us ought to be able to relate to with Paul. Paul is saying, yes, I've been born again, and in my mind and in my soul there is a desire to live for God and to not fall into a sin or anything like that. But he says this, even though that's my desire and that's my want to, there's something that happens that my flesh rises up, and I at times, even when I want to live for the Lord, I catch myself falling into sin because of this flesh. And see, that is what James is speaking at when he talks about the wars and fighting among us or within us. You know how it is. I mean, you have somebody that does you wrong, cuts you off in the road, and your body wants to cuss them out, shoot them a bird, but the spirit knows you ought to pray for them, and you speak blessing over them. And that is a fight. I mean, I think literally you can almost feel it at times working inside of you. And it is a war that is going on inside of us. But notice what he says. He says, don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? The word passion there is, in the Greek, it's hedon, where we get the word hedonism from. It's what it means there, and the King James uses the word lust there, I do believe. But what it means is he says that isn't it from the desire for pleasure and personal gratification that dwells within your flesh? That desire to feel good, that desire to be satisfied, that desire to have what you want and all that, that there's that fight that's waging war inside of us. James has already touched on this topic a little bit back in chapter 1, just like he did with the wisdom. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, he says, "No one undergoing a trial should say, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God is not tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone with evil. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and is enticed by his own desires." I don't know what that word is, but I'd say it probably leans to the same idea of hedonism, or that desire to, that passion to please self. He goes on to say that after desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. The point being that as a fallen creation, as a fallen creature, even though we've been redeemed, even though we've had that breath of life, of eternal life breathed in us by the Holy Spirit, when we were redeemed, when we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, that old man is still there. And you know what? For the rest of our lives, we'll live with the old man. The only time that we'll escape the old man is either through death or either by rapture and the resurrection. That's the only time. And we'll have that battle. The word passion, the word lust, it is hedon. It's where we get the term hedonism, which is the belief that pleasure or happiness is the sole good in life. That's the only thing that life is about. It's about live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse, you know. But the mentality is, if it feels good, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, see, and that's why that we look forward to the new body, because as long as we're in this, we're under the curse. Our body is physically under the curse. Nature is physically under the curse. Could you imagine how beautiful things were before the fall in the garden? I mean, it's beautiful now, but imagine there. And we're going to move on to see how we can win more of those battles, you know, that fight. Because like you and me, I can literally, there's that fight within you to want to put self first, the want to satisfy self. But that is that lust of the flesh. James is presenting this lust in our bodies as a constant struggle. A constant battle. One of the commentaries that I read said that it's like a one-man civil war. It's like because you've got the Holy Spirit living within you, but you've got the sinful flesh on the outside. And also, see, that's why we have to renew our minds, you see, because even though we're saved, we still think like a fallen man. We still think like a sinner. And so we have to let our mind. And Paul said that. He said, in my mind, I want to follow the law of God. I want to live in Him. But there's a law in my members. And so we've got to recognize that this is a civil war. There's a battle constantly going on inside of us. Think about this. A lot of people, if they have food, what do they want? More food or different food? If they have a drink, they want more drink. If they love sex, then they want more sex. If they make money, how much more do they need? One more dollar, and that'll be enough. If they have possessions, well, if I can just get a little bit more land, if I can get a newer car, it's just a little bit more. More property, more recognition, more authority, more revenge. I mean, it's just more and more. And many, many people get to a point, and I've talked about this before, but as believers especially, we get to a point that we can control those blatant, outright, sinful actions. You know what I mean? We grow past that. But there's other things that are acceptable in society, that's still sinful, but yet we, is that, what is it? Overeating. Overeating is a sin. Gluttony. What about overspending? Wasting your money on something. Selfishness. Putting your, gossiping. Pride. All those things. But those things are acceptable among, quote unquote, the body. To a lot of people. But it's still the fact that in those areas, we may not be cheating on our wife, we may not be looking at pornography, we may not be doing drugs, but we're still sinning against God. We're still putting ourselves first in those areas. And so, while people don't see that, this is what I'm talking about. We can be backslidden as all get out. We can be as far from God, but still have the piety of religion about us. So we see that James is saying that it comes from our own lust. It comes from our own selfish pleasure that we want to fulfill whatever we want. And for different people, it's different things. You know, what satisfies me won't be the same thing that satisfies Danny. You know, I might like to eat a big meal while Danny might like to run around and talk about people or something else. I mean, we're all got those things. But he moves on and he says this. Now, I want you to notice this. The word lust or the hedon is used three times in the first three verses here. He says in verse 2, you desire or you lust and do not have. You murder and covet, yet you cannot obtain. You fight and you wage war. That battle's going on inside of you. Now again, that is the same verse, the hedonism, that desire for pleasure, that desire for self-satisfaction and self-gratification. James goes on and notice what he says. He uses murder here, which seems to be, I mean, really kind of overreaching if you think about it. I mean, How often do we deal with a murderer on a day-to-day basis? We don't. I don't even think we deal with the desire to murder people on a daily basis. But what did Jesus teach over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22? You have heard it has said by our ancestors, do not murder. And whoever murders is subject to judgment. But I tell you, remember, Jesus took it to another level. He says, but I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment. And whoever calls his brother a fool will be subject to the Sanhedrin, or meaning that they can be corrected by the religious authority. But whoever says, you're a moron, will be subject to hell fire. So Jesus is equating the hatred that we can have for our brothers and sisters, or the disrespect that we show to our brothers and sisters, as murdering them. And many a person's reputation has been killed by gossip and falsehoods. That we don't know the whole situation. Probably don't need to know the whole situation. But James says that you murder, but also he says you covet. And the covet simply means, and in the James King James it says, you jealously are desiring to have something. There's something out there that you believe should be yours. It might be somebody else has it, or maybe it's at the store, but in your mind you have the right and it is your privilege to have that thing. But now, if we want to bring this down to brass tacks, the idea here, it boils down to, we're not trusting the Lord. Notice he says, you murder, you covet, you fight, and you wage war. Because we have Jesus, and I preached a sermon last year about with Jesus we have more than enough. He is an ever-present source, he's our ever-present provider, and he is our ever-present sustainer, and whatever we will need, he will supply it in the time that we need it. There's some things we don't need. Some things he can't trust us with. It's like I said on Wednesday night. The Lord can't trust some of us with money, and he can't trust some of us to be skinny. You know, I mean, why? Because we get to putting ourselves and making it about our own self-satisfaction. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6, again, coming from the Sermon on the Mount, beginning of verse 30. He said, if that's how If that's how God closed the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't He do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear? Because the idolaters eagerly seek these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Instead of trusting the Lord, when we fight those battles, and when we let those passions, that lust, that self-fulfillment, when it becomes number one in our life, what we've done is we've pushed Jesus off the throne, and we've made ourselves on the throne, and we become dependent upon ourselves instead of depending on the Lord. And in doing so, we're serving self. You know, we don't start out by saying, I'm going to talk bad about this one, or I'm going to run this one down, or I'm going to overeat and all that. But what happens is, there's something that we think we want, and God, we don't think God's providing for us. So in that area, what will we do? We'll depend on self. When we do that, we push God off the throne and we make ourselves first, and then it grows into other areas that we're saying, well, I'm going to make sure I've got this. I'm going to make sure I've got that. I'm going to make sure I've got the other thing. You see, and it is a... And you think about that as we talk about the Civil War. For 51 years, you didn't fight a battle. You, whatever your body wanted, you gave it. Whatever your desire was. So you can't expect in 2 to 3 years to change that automatically. No, I mean, I've been saved now longer than I was unsaved. But yet I still see greater and greater deficiencies in my spiritual walk. And they're growing. But we do. It starts out with a little faith. And then we think, well, I won't pray about this. I'll just go and handle it myself, you know. And then the next thing you know, it gets a little bigger. And the next thing you know, we're really not depending on God for anything. We're not living by faith. We're living by self-sufficiency. And then so he moves on in verse 3 again. We're going to see the use of the word heathen or hedonism. He says, you ask and do not receive because you are asking with the wrong motive, so that you can spend it on your own pleasures. Again, the word there, pleasures, is the same word as desires and passions that we've seen before. Again, you know, the more money you have, the more money you want. The more possessions you have, the more possessions you think. And you know what? The more you got, the more you got to keep up. You know what? I mean, it does. The more you got, the more you got to keep up. What we often forget is that we are made in God's image. Amen? That means we are spiritual beings that happen to be in a fleshly body. You understand? God is a spirit, right? And He made us in His image. The physical being is the least aspect that's been made in the image of God. We've been made spiritual in His image. Many people find faults with such passages as John 14:13-14, John 15:16, and John 16:23-26, which says this: whatever you ask in My name, I will do it, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. And we say, well, God don't hear my prayer. God don't answer my prayers. Well, notice, one, He says you have because you don't ask. You don't ask. Like I said, we become self-sufficient, and instead of praying for it, we'll do it ourselves. But the next thing, notice what He says, Brother Danny. He says, you ask so that you ask with the wrong motives. You're not asking because you want God to be glorified in it. You're not asking because you want others to come to know Jesus Christ. We ask because we want our life to be easier and we want our flesh to be satisfied. But listen, in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, He says, if we delight in the Lord, what will He do? Give us what? The desires of our heart. And so, see, that's many times why we don't get our prayer answers, because we're praying with the wrong motives. We're not praying for God to be glorified and His name to be lifted up. We're praying, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Right? It's selfishness. Notice he calls out in verse 4, he says, you adulterous people. Again, we've got to remember that we are created in God's image. We are spiritual beings. But he says, you adulterous people, don't you know that a friendship with the world is hostility against God? So whoever wants to be friends of the world becomes the enemy of God. We see this picture over in the Old Testament as the Israelites forsake God. They forsake His ways. They quit trusting in Him, and they go to far. They find a religion that suits their own flesh, that fulfills them. In Judges chapter 2, talking about you adulterous people. In the King James, I think it says you adulterers and adulteresses. I mean, he speaks to both sexes. But in Judges chapter 2, listen to what God said about His people. He says, but they did not listen to their judges. Instead, they prostituted themselves with other gods. The King James says they went whoring after other gods, bowing down to them. They quickly turned from the way of their fathers who had walked in obedience with the Lord's command. They did not do as their fathers did. You see, when what he's saying is you've committed spiritual adultery. I want you to think about this. Christ holds His relationship with you. Christ, and the same is true for me, but Christ holds His relationship with you in the most high of regards. You understand that? It is valuable to Him. It is important to Him. Your relationship with Jesus is precious in His sight. So much so that in Scripture, the relationship we have with Jesus Christ is described as a marriage, or as that between a husband and a wife, a bride and a groom. So He values it so high. Guess what? He expects us to regard it as precious as well. And so He says, you're mine. I ain't going to share you. But what is a friendship? What does a friendship with the world look like? Well, anytime we push Jesus aside for money, possessions, houses, lands, cars, recognition, position, power, control, even relationships, anytime we push Him aside and make them, when we make the gift more important than the giver, we are spiritual adulterers, meaning we're having an affair with someone else than our husband. And notice what it says. He says, when you do that, you're acting in hostility. The King James, I think, says enmity. Means that you're antagonizing your Creator. And again, remember, we've got to recognize we have a merciful God. We have a great God. But we've got to recognize we are dust under His fingernails. It is just by His mercy and grace. Who are we, after He's done so much, to push Him aside and commit adultery with something else? And that's what he said. Notice he says this. He says, not only is it hostility, but you become an enemy of God. Now that's hard to reconcile, but we see it in the Old Testament with the Israelites, because they would reject Him. They said, you're not our God anymore. We're going to follow other gods. We're going to serve other ways. We're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're going to do what we want to do. And today, we do that. And you're either in a place where God can bless you, or you're not. You understand what I'm saying? Either you're right with God, or you're not. And if you're not, then you're in an area where judgment can fall at any time. And He would be just in letting it fall. But He's merciful. And He has, His mercies are new with the rising of the sun. And so we go on to verses 5 and 6. He says this, and we're going to wrap it up. He says, "Or do you think it is without reason that the Scripture says the Spirit made to dwell in us envies intensely or is intensely jealous?" Now, James is referring to a passage of Scripture, but I cannot find that passage of Scripture, okay? But it's clear in other writings, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For he has bought you with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Remember, Jesus values your relationship with him as precious, right? And so the Spirit of God, which is one with Jesus Christ, what's it going to do? It's going to be inside of us. Like Brother Danny said, I feel bad. He said, when I do this, I feel bad. Praise God you feel bad. That's the Spirit of God inside of you, letting you know that you're His, you're married to Him, and that while we're out there running around after other things, the Spirit of Christ Jesus within us is saying, I love you, I'm jealous of you, I don't want anybody else to take up time with you or for you to give your attention to anyone else but to me. That's that jealousy. And praise God, he has a right to be jealous. I'll tell you this, husbands, you got a right to be jealous over your wife as well. Wife, you've got a right to be jealous over your husband. That's your wife, not somebody else's. Now, I'm not saying there's a point where we can fall into sin when that becomes obsessive. But praise God, we are made in his image, right? Notice he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, "But he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Now, I found this one over in Psalms chapter 138, verse 6. It says, Though the Lord be high, yet he has respect to the lowly or to the humble. But the proud he knows at a distance." So what we see here is that battle that's in us, it's common. All believers feel that battle, that tug, because we're still under the curse of sin. And that spirit within us pushes us to live for the Lord, but then that flesh tries to satisfy itself and make it feel better. But what we're seeing, and we're going to study it more a little bit next week, is this, is that when we submit to the will of God, and when we live by the Word of God, we'll find a more victorious life in those battles of that personal civil war. Why? Because we're submitting to Christ Jesus, and He will give us victory over the flesh. Not all the time, not 100%, but the more we grow, the more we understand and receive, the more we allow it to guide our life, and in that, He provides victory. Amen? All right, anything else before we close out? Don't forget the meeting tonight, okay? God bless you. Do invite other churches. Tell them that if they can't come, just to announce it at their church next Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, worship in the field, and Wednesday night. We've got a lot of churches that are doing that for us as well. So, in Jesus' name, I pray you have a blessed week, and I pray that you'll live in victory through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.